Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 15th of July, recording at 9:32 p.m., and that's British summertime. Well, we knew we were in a rangy market environment, but what a difference 3 days make. So, highlights here today. First, stock markets roaring upwards. We actually had at least three Asian stock markets hit new recovery highs. Those were China, Indonesia, and Malaysia. Now, European stock markets are very strong today. Gains of over 3% were not uncommon, and the UK FTSE bit more subdued, but still up 2.57% on the day, or nearly 109 points. Wall Street, the NASDAQ up 3.5%, the S&P up nearly 3%, and the Dow up just over 3%. But look at this, Brazil up almost 5%, Mexico up 4%. So, what's going on here? Well, if you weren't a convert of technical signals, I'm not talking about all that nonsense that we were being fed about head and shoulders top formations. What a contrary indicator that turned out to be. But remember the key day reversals, the upside key day reversals that we saw on Monday for the European stock markets. And that led to some upward dynamics on Wall Street. And I said, as Owen and I always do, that following those signals, particularly within ranging patterns overall, which certainly applies to the European stock markets, that we would need to see some upside follow through coming yesterday, and we did. And so the rally has gained further momentum here today, almost to the point of asking, has it gone ahead a little bit too quickly? Well, first, a few points to watch here overall, and a few observations. While we are still, for the most part, in ranging patterns, this move has certainly put a short-term floor underneath the markets, and we would need to see stock markets move beneath Monday's lows to reintroduce the prospect of a further reaction or correction anytime soon. So keep an eye on those charts for Monday's reaction lows. Now, what about the upside? Well, clearly there has been some short covering in this environment, and a number of us had put on some shorts. I have small hedge shorts because I had taken profits on most of them, but I had introduced, I think last week, a Swiss SMI a short because it looked to be joining the downward move. I did that, that was the, last week I put on a hedge short in the, in an Asian emerging markets index. Thank heavens it's not a big position, but it's still costing me money in here right now. And on Monday, I put out a short position in the SMI, and said, when I wrote it up later in the day, said that it looked like a mistake given the small upside key that we had actually seen. With hindsight, it would have been a good idea to have yanked those out. But, you know, we have a choppy environment here, and what I find is the areas where I was losing money, I'm either losing less money or making money in my trading account, and the areas where I was making money, have been reduced. So it's still a choppy, ranging environment, which makes trading a bit chancy. And this is, I would argue, is not a good time for aggressive large positions in terms of trading. More on that. However, many of you are not so interested in the trading and are very interested in the long-term investment positions. And I'm awfully glad that despite some overextensions and loss of upside momentum and the prospect of reversions to the mean, that I did not disturb my long-term investment positions, in which are all in fuller money themes, of course. And I'm happy to go on holding those. And of course, those have had an extremely good 3 days. Now, how far can this surprisingly strong, at least to me, rally actually go? Well, we have to give the upside. I don't know, and nor does anyone else. But I have to give the upside the benefit of the doubt until I see something that changes that. And I think that there are several factors at work here. One is that more often than not, liquidity trumps all. I mentioned short covering a moment ago, and clearly we're seeing some short covering there, in the markets. In talking to investment managers, I get the impression that many are still well under a fully invested position, and therefore we do still have uninvested funds that have been on the sidelines, that have been in treasury bills, that could still and will eventually come back into markets. But will it all come in on a very short-term basis? And here I would be cautious and also skeptical. Now, yesterday in Comment of the Day, I did mention that one of the things you would need to worry about was the anniversary of how I described it as the anniversary of last year's stock market crash. Now, it wasn't a one day and practically completed crash the way we saw in 1987 on Wall Street, but it was certainly a major meltdown running from September into November. And normally, following dramatic moves on the downside, that investors become extremely jumpy, nervous, prior to well, as those dates come around the following year, and often they can be concerned for longer than the following year. The example I gave was on the '87 crash, that people agonized about the possibility of another crash, really. Every time September and October rolled around for probably another good number 5 years. It didn't happen, needless to say, although it helped to create some turbulence at that time, particularly in the early years, 88, 80, 89. Now, will that happen again in the next few months? I would have to rate it at least a 50-50 possibility, at least. And I will be surprised if that doesn't happen. But remember, markets are full of surprises. But I would definitely be a bit cautious, and particularly as there is still something of a disconnect here between stock market performance and what we actually see coming from the economic data. Now, we have had from Wall Street some very positive earnings surprises in inverted commas here, and I think that was always going to be on the cards, in the sense that many companies would report better earnings, particularly multinational companies, and what we certainly know is that they have done everything that they I would say I'm about to say they've done everything that they could to slash overheads. They've certainly gone a long way towards slashing overheads. So that will improve their productivity overall. And some of the better ones will also, multinationals will also see some pickup in sales activity, perhaps. So I think we should expect going forward, yes, there'll be unpleasant earnings surprises. I suspect many of those will be in retailing, although interestingly, the shares don't reflect that at this stage of the market cycle. But overall, what I'm trying to say is expect corporate earnings to impress on the upside more often than GDP figures, and that's because companies have slashed overhead so much, increasing their productivity. Okay. Now, how to play it overall? Well, as I've mentioned, I'm certainly not going to sell any of my long-term core investment positions unless they do something really silly on the upside, and I don't think they have at this stage. I do think that many of them remain susceptible to reversion to the mean in terms of the 200-day moving averages, but they have done a little bit of that in terms of ranging activity since May and or at least since June. A bit of ranging activity, giving the moving averages more time to move up, and they are rising behind those fuller money themes, and that's really quite positive. I'm not going to, again, unless if something does something really silly on the upside, I don't expect that, but I'm talking about a big accelerating advance, then I would be foolish not to at least take some of that out. That would be a good news story, of course, if we saw in the short to medium term some huge upside moves. As I say, I don't expect that. When I expect choppy action with the real possibility that we do see nervous market conditions running possibly into November. And then I think the environment will be quite bullish once again. Now, if I'm too cautious and markets just run from here, well, then they'd be oversold by that time. But that's unlikely. That's unlikely in my view. I think we may get a number of new highs, and I wouldn't be surprised if new recovery highs, that is, and then I wouldn't be surprised if we see some upside failures leading to a bit more base formation extension in the OECD markets and a bit more ranging, closing that gap between current price levels and the mean represented by the 200-day moving averages by fuller money themes. Assuming nothing does anything explosive on the upside, as I do, the time when I really should consider selling positions in my long-term equity investment portfolio will be when we clearly see a change in monetary policy, when central banks are raising interest rates, raising short-term interest rates once again. I certainly don't think we're going to see that this year. My hunch is that we'll see it first with China. It's usually a lead indicator in that it takes, oh, a couple, maybe even three rises before markets lose their overall upward momentum. Usually, you get a stutter when it first happens, and then markets shrug it off because people say, well, hey, they're still quite low, and we don't know when they'll next raise rates. But once embarked on that course, central banks will continue to raise rates to choke off whatever asset or other asset bubbles or other inflationary pressures that they actually see. Remember how China was very effective in doing that back in 2007, and I should have paid more attention to it at the time. I certainly commented on it, but I chose to ride it out, and that was a mistake. Now, I don't intend to make that mistake again when monetary policy changes. Meanwhile, I'm not tempted to add to long positions in this market environment. I think that we'll see the further short-term trading opportunities. But what has clearly been the case for the last couple of months, when you see short-term profits on the trades, it's probably a good idea to take at least some of those, or at minimum to protect them with break-even or in-the-money stops, trailing stops. But in a choppy market environment, break-even stops are too often hit, and I think the better strategy is to take those short-term profits in the trading accounts. I don't think we'll see powerful running trends for a while. Now, what about the long-dated government bonds? The uptrends are breaking. The short to medium-term uptrends that we've seen over the last couple of months are breaking, and I think they will. We will continue to see bond prices come down as long as these stock markets are moving up. And it's the bond markets that are taking their cue from stock markets right now, not the other way around. In terms of currencies, now this is interesting because the dollar, which was it has been range-bound, but was at the upper side of those ranges really at the end of last week, is now retreating from those levels, and in most instances it's retreating a little bit faster than it fell. Now, currencies are never as volatile as stock markets or bond markets, let alone commodity markets. So we may see the dollar, and it's basically been the dollar and the yen against the rest. We may see them range bound for a little longer in here, but the short-term message is that those all change signals that we've referred to, that Owen and I have referred to so many times on the 3rd of June. Well, the reversal of those trends that follow. That's when precious metals had downside key reversals, a lot of commodities had downside key reversals, government bonds had some upside key reversals, the dollar had some upside key reversals. Well, that changed on Monday. And so we're in a different environment, and we will want to remember the 12th. I beg your pardon, it's the 13th. We will want to remember the 13th of July, because that did mark a short-term trend change. And therefore, as long as these stock markets are moving up, I would expect bond prices to give up further ground. And the US dollar also will respond to that by, I think, weakening a bit further and having a look at the lower side of its current ranges. And interestingly, precious metals. Now, I think you may recall, if you've got a good memory, you go back to the June through 3rd period when we saw those downside keys. I closed out my long positions. I started nibbling again a bit too soon. I always seem to do that in the precious metals, because I like to accumulate them on weakness. The art of that is not to do too much too soon. But again, given the signals seen in other markets over since Monday, that action is supportive of precious metals. There's a chance, and I had described them as being in an accumulation zone, and It had said back on the 3rd of June, said, watch out, we're going to see a downward correction. But when we get gold down into the mid to lower 900 region, that'll be in an accumulation zone. Silver fell all the way back down, reversed practically $4 of gains and moving down to its launch pad earlier in the year. Palladium, platinum, well, not so much palladium. Platinum certainly pulled back quite sharply, as did copper and some of the other industrial metals. Well, they've all firmed very dramatically in here, and there's a good chance that we have seen, well, I'll put it this way, we've seen lows of at least near-term significance, and there's a chance that we have seen quite important lows, or are very close to some quite important lows. So we're as of last Monday, we were very close to some important lows in this precious metal sector. There's a good chance that's the case. So I maintain that they are in accumulation zones, and another couple of days like today, and they will have moved out of accumulation zones and be heading back up to towards towards earlier highs, led at the moment by gold. Now, if I hesitate on this, and I am, as I think out loud in this audio, it's a little early still in the cycle for gold to be doing anything big, but it might well have checked its overall decline, and that would be above its last reaction low. So that's still positive overall in terms of the broad pattern, and therefore we may see ranging by precious metals above the lows that we saw on Monday, prior to a stronger performance as we get into September and year-end months. I think there's quite a good chance that that will be the case, and that would be good for the performance of precious metal shares as well. And I think mining shares also, there's a good chance that we saw some important lows in last week and this week, and in a number of those mining shares. And crude oil, what about crude oil? Well, I think the highs up around the $72, $73 level were probably medium term. I hope they are. And that the market doesn't care what I hope, but I hope those were medium term highs, because it would create a headwind, a renewed headwind for the global economy, if we were to see crude oil pushing much above those levels once again. But having fallen from the low 70s down to just below 60 in this environment right now, I can easily envisage crude oil rallying a bit further in here short term. And for all these industrial commodities, the pattern is one of base formations. Now, some of those base formations are being extended, and that's no great surprise overall. But the lows are in, just as the lows are in for stock markets. And to go step right back to those equity markets, we've had an awful lot of talk of Wall Street moving back down into new lows, and a lot of people were feeling that they would head straight down and towards those March lows. You will have seen some of the copy accompanying all that head and shoulders talk. Well, I don't buy it. I don't believe it, because back then markets were discounting total economic collapse. People were talking about a depression. The monetary policy is very, very favorable, and it's going to remain favorable for quite some time. So expect further ranging, expect some nervous conditions over the next few months until we move beyond the anniversary of last year's market meltdown. And then I think the bulls will be rightfully back in charge once again. And sorry if I've run on too long in this audio, but interesting stuff in terms of the market action, certainly. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.